Blog Talk Radio.
And so there's some other things I want to look at in that book.
and then we will, you know, go to the book of Exodus, where we will look at the sanctuary, because the sanctuary represents Elohim dwelling with us. But it's also prophetic in that what the Most High had Moses do on the earth, he was also doing in the heavens. And at the same time, he had was doing the work that he was going to do with Messiah, and I guess finalizing those plans, or however we want to look at it. So that being said, let us go ahead and welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. Whether you are in North America, South America, the African continent, the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, the communist bloc countries, wherever you may be listening, greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Let me go ahead and do our statement of faith, and we will pray in and get started in this precept. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise for today. Hallelujah, Father. We just give you glory, honor, and praise on today. We lift you up and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. And we extol you, Father. We extol you. We lift you up in the highest, in the highest. Hallelujah. For you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. And there is none like you, O Yah Elohim. No, not one. And so, Father, you alone, you have said it. You alone are Elohim, and there is no other, and you don't know any other. And so, Father, we don't know any other. There is only you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. And our scripture for today will be from the book of Exodus, chapter 25. The book of Exodus, chapter 25, and verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. The blowing of the shofar.
Adonai, from the rising, that they may know
from the rising of the sun, just as the song just said, and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am Yah, and there is none else. Now, we are supposed to be his witness of these things. There's no way that anybody in Israel can say that there's another Elohim other than the Most High. And this is why they would have a problem with Messiah himself being a man, because they did not pick this up in the scriptures, okay? But they picked this part up, that there is none else other than him, okay? They picked that up. But they did not pick up that he was coming. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, Yah, do all these things. Drop down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, Yah, have created it. So if there's going to be any righteousness anywhere or any salvation, he's the creator of it. Woe unto him that strives with his master, that argues with his maker. Let the potsherds strive or contend with the potsherds of the earth. Don't contend with your maker. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Or thy work? Has no hand, he has no hand. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? What are you making? What are you beginning? And to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith Yah, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker. Ask me the things to come concerning my son, and concerning the work of my hand, command you me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. So he's telling us once again, he created the heavens and the earth. He's the maker of all things. I have raised him up in righteousness. I will direct all his ways. Now he's talking about Cyrus, but he's also talking about Messiah. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. He shall let go my captives. Not for price nor reward, saith Yah Elohim. And that's why I was saying on the other night, I don't think that this country will be able to redeem us. The price is too great, and only the Most High can do that. Verse 14. Thus saith Yah, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabines, men of stature. These are renowned men. They're mighty men. Shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely Elohim is in thee, and there is none else. There is no other Elohim. So the nation eventually will recognize that there is no other Elohim. There are not many. There's only one. Verily, or seriously, thou art an Elohim that hides thyself, O Elohim of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded. All of them, they shall go to confusion together, that are makers of idols, save in Yah with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. So Israel is supposed, as long as we remember this, we're not supposed to ever be confounded, confused. We're not, to the world end. So he changed it, brings on the new heavens and the new earth. We're never to be confounded, confused, that there is more than one Elohim, and it's not him. For thus saith Yah that created the heavens, Elohim himself that formed the earth and made it. He has established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am Yah, and there is none else. Over and over, he's saying this to us. We can never, ever get this wrong. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek you me in vain. So he says, I didn't say to Jacob, seek me for no reason, for nothing. I, Yah, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together. You that are escaped of the nation. Those that are escaped of the nation. Everybody in the nation, this is all the world. Everybody in all the nations are not going to understand. Everybody in all the nations are not going to escape judgment. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven images and pray unto a Elohim that cannot save. Tell you and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from the ancient times? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, Yah? And there is no Elohim else beside me, a just Elohim and a Savior. There is none beside me. Over and over again. Look unto me, and be you saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am Elohim, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. There is nothing, nobody higher than himself. So he swore on himself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. That unto me, now you gotta underline this, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear, every tongue shall confess. And what are they going to confess? That he is Yah. He is Elohim, and he is the only Elohim. That's what the world is going to end up confessing. And they're going to say it to him in the form of a man. You are Yah. Surely shall one say, in Yah have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In Yah shall all seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. So over and over and over again, the Most High tells us, there's only him. He's doing everything. And in John, he told us he's the one that came into the world. He's the one that was the maker of the world, of all things. And without him was not anything made. So it's his way of telling us that the one that came into the world is him. Not a representation of him. It's him. But it's going to be told in such a way that not everybody can understand it. Isaiah 40:1. Comfort you. Comfort you, my people. Say it, your Elohim. Comfort them. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. It's a spiritual warfare, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of Yah's hand double for all her sins. Now there's going to come a time where Jerusalem's going to really be destroyed, because Most High is going to come back and again burn it down with fire to clean it out. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. This is talking about John. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yah. Underline that, the way of Yah. When they come to ask John, who are you? I am a voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye, make straight the ways of Yah. Prepare ye his way. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. When he returns the next time, it's going to be with great fanfare. Nothing on the earth is going to exalt itself, not even the mountains. They're going to be flattened out. The islands that are raised up above the level of the sea are going to be flattened. And the glory of Yah shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of Yah has spoken it. Now, these are future events, it's past and future together. It is prophecy. And so he's talking about John, and he's telling that John is going to prepare his way, the way of the Most High. But then there's some future prophecies here also that weren't going to be fulfilled in the lifetime of Messiah. They're going to be fulfilled in his second coming. The voice they cried, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, because the Spirit of Yah blows upon it. Surely, people is grass. People come and go. And we are here today, we're gone tomorrow. We wither away. Surely, people is grass. The grass withered and the flower faded. But the word of our Elohim standeth forever. So people might come and go, but the word of Yah don't change. That's why we have to be anchored in it. That's why we have to believe it. You have to believe what is written. Every generation, the same things we know, the next generation may not know. May not be revealed to all of them, only some. Those that have been chosen. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, what? Behold your Elohim. This is talking about Messiah. Tell Jerusalem. Tell Judah. Tell Zion. Announce and cry, behold your Elohim. Everybody comes and goes. But your Elohim is here now. Judah, Jerusalem, Zion, Israel. Behold your Elohim, the very one that says, there is no other. There is nobody but me. And you are my witnesses. So when we get to the book of John, and it announces, John announces his arrival, and he's going about to make straight the paths of Yah, calling the people to repentance. And he's telling them by his saying, I'm the voice of one crying in the wind, in the wilderness. They should have been able to come right back here and find out, well, wait a minute. The voice of one crying in the wilderness is announcing the arrival of our Savior. That's why the angel said, your Savior is here. But he's not coming as king now. But he is their king also. He's not coming as king right now. He's coming as Savior. He's coming as Redeemer. I'm not coming to judge you. I'm coming to redeem you. And it is the only one that you have ever known. For this purpose, I made you a nation. For this purpose, I lifted you up. For this purpose, I gave you my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my ordinances, my judgments. So that when I came into the world, you would know them and you would be my people, but you wouldn't be keeping them. He already knew that. He told Moses that in the wilderness, this people is not going to do right. But I still chose them. Okay, and so we got to understand the Most High's testimony of himself. I don't know any other Elohim. And so anything else that you worship is a false Elohim. It's a false God. It's something made up in your mind, or it's something pretending. And I don't care, because it's a thought. It starts in your mind, then it is the concept of it. The people are in love with the concept of their own mind. It starts there. And sooner or later, they'll manifest it with their hands by making some type of idol, some type of statue, drawing a picture of it, whatever they imagine in their mind or whatever. It's pretending. And so we got to understand that the Elohim of Jacob, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, always promised that he would come. And he was telling Israel that the whole time, I'm going to come. But we want a king we can see. Because they could not see Elohim. Only through his prophet. We want a king like the other nations have. So, all right, I'll give you a king. I'll give you king. Sit on my throne. But there's a work that I'm doing. And because you physically need to have somebody that you can see, then you're going to serve them, and you're not going to like serving them. Because now you're going to have to serve at their whim. Whatever they want to send you to battle. And if he's not following me, y'all going to die. Y'all going to die. In battle, at the whim of this man. But you're going to follow him because you asked for him. Whether he be righteous or whether he be wicked, you're going to follow him. Because you would not wait for me. You are in sin. And I need to take care of that issue first. I need to make a way out of that issue for you and for mankind. So I can only do that by a pure sacrifice. So I come myself. But you're going to know me as the son of Elohim. That's how I want you to know me. As the son of Elohim. But I am the one that told you from the very beginning, I don't know any other Elohim. There is none besides me. There is no other. So no matter what you hear, no matter what is said, I've given you the truth from the beginning. There is no other. Because I want them to hear, and I want them to see, but I don't want them to understand. Go to Matthew's, I think it's 13. Matthew chapter 13, starting verse 10. Because I want y'all saying, Brother Miles says this. I'm only telling you what the scripture says. Now, they're asking him about the parable. Why are you talking to them in parables? Why aren't you just talking to them plainly? But the whole scripture is written this way. And when the Most High wants it to be plain to us, he tells us plainly, this is what it is. There is no other Elohim besides me. And if you start thinking that there is, there's something wrong with you. You have become corrupt. Said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. It's not given to them to understand. This is the masses. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore speak I this to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand, because they didn't learn the original lesson. It's like you have a child and you teach them, or you have somebody in school and you teach them a lesson. And you give them a test to see if they learned and comprehended what was being taught in the lesson. And you may even give them a trick question to see if they truly comprehend it. And the Most High said, I gave you the truth. I told you. But now I've had it written in such a way that if I don't give you the understanding, you won't have the understanding. You'll hear the same words and not be able to understand. You'll see this that other true believers see, true believers, and you won't perceive it the same way. You'll see the same thing, but you won't understand what you're seeing the same way. You won't be able to see it in truth. So when he comes into the world, they can't see it, even though it's being announced, even though the shepherds came around and said, the Savior has been born. The Savior of Israel and of the world has been born. None of the holy men, none the king, the scribes, most of the people did not understand. Not everybody, but most of them did not understand. They couldn't hear it. They couldn't see it. And they definitely could not understand who Messiah was, who he truly is. This is your Elohim, Israel. The only Elohim you have ever known. The one that brought you out of Egypt and told you there is no other. The one that proved to you that all the Elohims that Egypt worshiped, they were just worshiping him and thinking that they were worshiping other Elohims. And because in their mind they were worshiping other Elohims, that's what they was accredited to them. They were not giving the true credit to the true and living Elohim. They were giving it to the sun, to the moon, the stars, creeping things. But Israel is supposed to know. And all Israel did not get it. Those that are of the so-called Orthodox movement, it was not given to them to understand what had been written. And so when we are talking about the birth of Messiah, be born, the Most High drops the clues everywhere. But he really did it in his sanctuary, in the building of his sanctuary, and what the sanctuary represented. I want you, Moses, to build a sanctuary after the pattern of the one in heaven, where I dwell. And I'm going to dwell here on the earth with you in the sanctuary. So let's go to Exodus chapter 19. The book of Exodus chapter 19. And to him that has the ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto us. Now, this certain part I just saw today. I'm talking about recently here today. And Yah did, because, you know, sometimes you don't pick up on things. You pick up on certain things and certain things you don't pick up on until he wants you to see it. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they unto the wilderness of Sinai. So when did they arrive at Sinai? I originally would have just said the third month. But this also gives us the specific day they arrived. In the same day that they left Egypt, what day did they leave Egypt on? The Passover. They left on the 15th. They left on the 15th of the month. The 14th, they had the Passover that night. During that night, after midnight, they were into the next day. The 15th, they departed. So the self same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, where they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai. So in the third month, 3 months to the day that they left Egypt, they arrived at Mount Sinai, which would have been the 15th of the month. And had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto Elohim, and Yah called unto him out of the mount, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now this is Elohim telling Moses, tell the children of Israel this. This is the one that they've been dealing with. This is the one that, you know, brought the life and turned all the waters into blood. Sent the destroyer and only killed the firstborn. Very selective. Think about that. You send something in to the land, and it's very specific about who it kills. The firstborn of everything, man and beast, and only the firstborn, so that we know that the Most High can be very selective when he wants to be, or I'll just kill you all. And so you've seen that. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice, for real, indeed, for real, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. This is Yah's doing. The world, the earth, don't like this. The people of the earth, the nations, don't like this. This is why we are in the situation we are in today. They don't like it, and we did not hold up our part of the agreement. We did not keep the covenant. We did not obey his voice. He says, all the earth belongs to me. It's mine. I created it. I will put you on top. You'll be above all people. This is his doing. Mankind don't like that. What makes them so special from us. You created us too. And so this has always been the battle, right here. You're going to be a peculiar people to me, a very special people to me. I'm choosing you as my priesthood and to support my priesthood. My priesthood is going to be the go-between between me and all mankind. Just going to start with this nation right here. So if you obey my voice, keep the contract that we go in together with, then you will be a peculiar treasure to me, a very special treasure. But if you don't, and you got trouble, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. We want to be a peculiar people, and all people want to be a peculiar people unto the Most High. Problem is, as the priest of the Most High, you have to be a certain way. You cannot be contrary to him. You cannot be breaking his laws and his statutes, commandments, and his judgments, his ordinances, and be his priest. You cannot be living like the world and be his priest. This is what Israel didn't want. Didn't want to be his priest. Wanted to be like the rest of the world. And so we got to understand this message that we have to be, if we are chosen by him, even in Messiah, we have to be like him. We have to enforce everything that he has set forth. We can't be talking about there's exceptions or the Most High knows my heart. Not and be his priest, not and be his people. Doesn't work that way. But we want him to accept us on our terms, and he is the Most High. He made us. Well, I want you to accept me how I am. No, I made you, and I've made a way for you to be better than what you think you can be. I did not put anything on you that's impossible. But I did give you choice. And so you have to choose to be better. You have to be perfect. You have to choose that. You have to choose to walk in all my ways. I'm not going to make you do it, but if you don't, I will punish you. I want you to voluntarily do it. So tell the children of Israel this. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which Yah commanded him. And all the people showed answered together and said, all that Yah has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto Yah. They agreed, Yah. All that you have said, that we will be a peculiar nation unto you. We will obey your voice. We will keep your covenant. We will keep the contract with you. Now this is the 15th day of the third month. Yah stays down on the earth and talks to them and gives the people. He don't give it to Moses. He talks directly to the nation of Israel where they can hear it. 6 days. So they arrive on the 15th of the month, and the Most High. Let's go to Exodus chapter 24. And we're going to get verse 16. And the glory of Yah abode upon the Mount of Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. I remember he came down in the cloud, and there was thunderings, and there was lightnings, and there was earthquakes, and the mountain melted, and there was lava coming down the mountain because the rocks were melting at his presence. And on the seventh day, he called Moses out of the midst of the cloud, saying, come up here. Now, he had just spent from Exodus 19 to Exodus 24 a total of 6 days. And he's giving the commandments and the statutes and the ordinances to Israel. Now he's going to call Moses up on the mountain and say, now write this stuff down. So that would have been on the 21st of the month, 6 days later, from the 15th to the 6th, the 21st. And he called Moses up. So he's dealing with Israel at this time. And he wants to dwell amongst Israel. It's not the first time that the Most High, it's going to be the first time in Israel's history that the Most High wants to dwell with them. But this is a type and a shadow of things to come. You're not ready yet for me to be here on the earth in my true form. And in my true form, you cannot look upon me and not die. So he talked to them from the mountain and from the clouds for 6 days. And they hear him. They're afraid. But they don't talk directly to him. Moses, you go talk to him for us. But they heard. They heard the Elohim of Israel. And they heard, you shall not have a God before me. You shall not worship other gods. You shall not make any graven image. You shall not bow down to them. Honor my Sabbath and keep it holy. They heard the commandments. And they heard the different ordinances that he gave into how to conduct themselves. And on the seventh day after he had been down, he called Moses up to the mountain, into the cloud. Verse 17. And the sight of the glory of Yah was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud, into this fire, and got him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. So this puts them into the fourth month, almost at the end of the fourth month when Moses down from the mountain. The fourth month. Okay. So to Exodus 25. Now we're in the fourth month, the end of the fourth month, okay? But it's the fourth month nevertheless. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, Exodus 25 and 1, speak unto the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. So tell every man and woman and child, bring me an offering. And this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red and badger skin, and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. Now, this sanctuary represents the Most High dwelling on the earth with Israel. But it's also prophetic in that he starts his work in the fourth month. Let them make me a sanctuary. And wherever he goes, whenever he's present there, he's present with them all the time. In the pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It's always on the sanctuary. And as long as he is in the sanctuary by that sign, they don't move. They stay right where they are. And then when the Most High wants them to move, he leaves the sanctuary, and that pillar of fire or that pillar of cloud leads them where he wants them to go. And then when he wants them to stop, that pillar of cloud or fire will stop, and they will put the sanctuary up, and the Most High would visit them in the sanctuary again. But the real key to this is, let's go to Exodus chapter 40. The book of Exodus chapter 40. And we're going to get starting verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month. Now they came into Mount Sinai on the 15th day of the third month. And he's telling them in the first day of the first month of the next year. In the first day of the first month, thou shalt set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. That's the sanctuary. And thou shalt put therein the ark of testimony and cover the ark with a veil. And thou shalt bring in the table and set it in order, the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring it in the candlestick and light the lamp thereof. And thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. And thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and shall put water therein. And thou shalt set up the court round about it, and hang up the hangings at the court gate. And thou shalt take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle, and all that is therein, and shall hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering, and all his vessels, and sanctify. He says, here is for a reason. This is a representation of a man and his dwelling with Israel, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. And thou shalt anoint the laver and his foot, and sanctify it. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats, and thou shalt anoint them with the, and as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Thus did Moses according to all that Yah commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up, or the tabernacle was born. Now, I told you that they started, the Most High said, bring me an offering to make me a sanctuary in the fourth month. If you write down 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, write down until you get to 9 months. You're going to find out that the first month of Nisan, remember the first month of the year. It's not the 1st of January. The 1st of Nisan, the beginning of the Hebrew year, calendar year. They raised the sanctuary. Because this is a representation of Messiah, it's prophetic of his. And when they raised the sanctuary in the first day of the first month, in the second year, this is also the time of year that Messiah would be born, that the Most High would enter into the world as a man. And this would be his birthday, the first of Nisan. So he told them to remember that day, but he didn't tell them why. It shall be the beginning of years. It shall be the beginning for you. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. He would come in the beginning of the year, their year. So the sanctuary tells us when his birthday is and when he would enter into the world as a man. And we can celebrate that. It is not hidden from us if we have ears to hear and eyes to see. Because the world wants to know, when was he born? It's not revealed. It is revealed. It's just that you got to have an eyes and ears to hear and see. And the Most High has to reveal it, giving you the understanding that he didn't have that sanctuary built at that time, just to have it built at that time. It was a prophetic act. And it represented him dwelling with Israel, dwelling with man. So when he actually comes at a man, this is when I'm coming. So when he has the prophet Isaiah to tell Israel, behold your Elohim, your Savior, he's here. Have the prophet John, Isaiah is prophesying about the prophet John who hadn't been born yet. Go to the book of John. Remember in Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And let's go to verse 18. Because there are some of these things that are written that if you don't have ear to hear or eyes to see, you will not understand these verses. No man has seen Elohim at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. Now, until this time, they had not seen Elohim at any time. That don't mean that they weren't going to see him, or that anybody wouldn't see him. Ezekiel saw him in the form that he wanted him to describe him in. Hey, he looks like fire. Above and below his waist, he looked like fire, the color of amber. No man has seen Elohim at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So now they're going to see Elohim. But they're going to see him in the form of the only begotten. Not in the form of the Father, in his true form. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Now remember, Isaiah said John was going to announce Elohim. And he was going to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. I don't want y'all getting it wrong. There can be no confusion here. I don't want you worshiping me. I don't want to get in trouble. I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? The angel said, Gabriel said that the spirit that was in John would come in the spirit of Elias. And he says, I am not. Art thou that prophet? That prophet is the one that Moses said would come. Remember, the Most High told Moses, another prophet shall I send after you in your likeness. So they're waiting for Messiah. They're waiting for that prophet to come that was promised through Moses. He says, I am not. Are you that prophet? He says, and he answered, no. So are you Elias? No. Are you the Christ? No, I am not the Christ. Are you that prophet? No. Now, John didn't know that he was in the spirit of Elias. But it was already prophesied that that was the spirit that he would come in. To him, I'm just John. And I know I'm not the Christ. I'm announcing the Christ. I'm announcing the arrival of Elohim. But I'm not here to take any glory for myself. Verse 22. Then said they unto him, who are you? If you ain't the Christ, if you ain't Elias, if you ain't that prophet, who the heck are you that you baptize us? Who are you that we may give an answer to them that sent us? Sayest thou of thyself. What do you say of yourself? Tell us who you are. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's their clue. Had they truly been in the scripture, that should have been a red flag that went up. Ding, 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 ding. Isaiah said that. That there would be one that would say that he's the voice crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of Yah. And they say the Lord here, and that's why I say this name, this title Lord in the Bible confuses people. Because this was his actual name. Make straight the path of Yah. Or Jehovah, or Yahweh. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. As said the prophet Isaiah. And they say Isaiah is here, but it's Isaiah. And Isaiah was supposed to, he said that John was supposed to let Israel know, behold who? Behold your God, your Elohim. This is the one that's coming to the world. The one that created the world. The one that said he don't know any other God. The the one that said he made everything alone and by himself. He's the one that's coming to the world. That's who John is supposed to be announcing. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of Yah. Repent and start doing righteousness. And started baptizing them, cleaning them up to present them to their king. Because you don't want to be presented to your king and your savior dirty. It's like you would take a bath to go see the president of the United States, or I hope you would. You would not just go in, you know, your sweatsuit unless you had it like that and you knew him like that. But if you were going to go into the presence of your king, and this is what Israel, what they missed, declared through the prophet Isaiah, I am your king. I am your savior. I am your redeemer. And besides me, there is no other. Nobody else is coming. I'm not sending anybody else. It is me and me alone. But when I come, I want you to know me as the Son of Redemption. When I'm in the flesh, I want you to know me as the Son. I did not pre-exist as the Son in creation. What I was going to do as the Son was already formulated and thought out before I created everything. I knew I was going to do this. So I can say of the Son, S-O-N, that he was slain before the foundations of the world. Because I preordained it before the foundations of the world, that this would happen. And once I say it, it is done. It just has to wait for the time for it to come to happen. That's why he tells us through Isaiah, my word that goes out of my mouth, whatever I speak, it goes about to accomplish whatever I say. And it shall not return unto me void, but it shall go out to accomplish it. And come hell or high water, it's going to do exactly what I said. So he speaks to those things which are not as though they are. So when he says it, even if it hasn't already happened, it is though that he speaks as though it has already happened. Because it's going to happen. I said it, it's a done deal. Now, I said I was coming to you. That Israel was created for me. The throne in Israel was created for me. You became impatient and didn't want me to rule you through my prophets. And I was going to rule you through my prophets until I came as your king. You asked me for a king. And you thought when you were firing Samuel that you were firing Samuel, but you were firing me. So I told Samuel, don't be upset. It's not you that they're firing, it's me. I'm ruling through you. And this stiff-necked, hard-headed people want a king like the other nations. And they don't want to wait on me. Because I got a work to do. I cannot dwell amongst this unclean people as their Elohim in the form that I want to. So I got to come and prepare a way. I got to come and make a way where there is no way. I'm going to do something that nobody else can do. Me, the creator of the world, and all things in it, I'm going to come in the form of a man. And you're going to know me as the only begotten of the Father. That's how I want you to know me. in flesh as the only begotten of the Father. No man has seen me as the Father at any time, but you're going to see me as the only begotten of the Father, the Son. That's why when Peter asked, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Or what I believe that may have been Thomas. I'm going to look that one up. But I'm going to quote it right here. Show us the Father and we will be, and it will suffice us. We will be satisfied. He said, have I been with you so little time that you have not known me? When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So how do you say, show us the Father? People want to believe that that means like the likeness of him. That means like, you know, his nature. No, this is literally. He is the image of the invisible. If we can see the invisible, Messiah was the image of that. Not just in spirit. Literally. Most High prepared him a body, he entered into it, and came into the world. So now, you see me. Your king is here. And we start getting into the Gospels, and we start reading about how Messiah entered into Jerusalem on the 10th day of the month. He's fulfilling everything in the scriptures concerning the Passover. He's fulfilling everything that was written of him. That the Most High said that he himself would do. So we as Israel have to understand we are his witnesses. And he says, you as my witnesses can't ever say that there's more than one Elohim. I don't care what you read or how you read it. You have to understand it's only me. And if I come in the form of a man, there's not two of me. There's only one of me. And I'm going to keep that true all through the scriptures. There's only one of me. So I'm going to do something that only I can do. I'm going to enter the world in the form of a man. I'm going to let you kill me. I'm going to die. I'm going to satisfy the requirements of my own law so that I can take you back to me. Why? Because I was married to you. And you went a-whoring after other gods. And the only way that relationship with me, as long as you're in the, I either have to totally kill you off to break this marriage, or I have to come and die to end this relationship. If I kill you off, you ain't coming back. If I come and die, I am able to come back. So I'm going to come and fulfill the only requirement of my law. Marriage is unto death. Your husband is going to enter into the world, be born a man, die, and be resurrected. Now I can take you back because that first relationship, when I divorced you and put you away and you went a-whoring after other gods, I couldn't take you back because you went to another god. In your mind and in your heart, you went to another God. You went to another husband. And I could not take you back. Or else I'd be breaking my own law. So I made a way around my law, the loophole in my own law. I did something that you could not do, and you can't do it in your natural life. So when you get married in your natural life, it's unto death. And then when that spouse dies, or a woman, she's free to remarry. So I did something that you yourself cannot do. And I'm going to take this very same act that I did to get Israel back and use it as for salvation to the rest of the world. But first, it all starts with you, Israel. I'm going to come to my own. First, I chose you. You did not choose me. And I'm going to make it a way for you to come back to me. But I'm not forming another God. Go to Isaiah 43 and 10. And people want to twist this, but it's really straightforward. Isaiah 43 and 10. And 11. You are my witnesses. What are you going to witness? Saith Yah. And my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. And there is, before me, there was no Elohim form. He's not saying that he was ever formed. What he's saying is, I've always been, I've told you, I've always existed. And before me, there wasn't one form. Because there is no before me. Neither shall there be after me. Not like he's going to have an end. Because he's not going to have an ending. So he's telling you there will never be another Elohim. There's never going to be another true God. And so for Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to be Elohim, he has to be the Elohim. And he is. I'm the same Elohim that told you I don't know any other. And before me, there was no Elohim form, neither will there be after me. I came in the form of a man. And I died to satisfy that requirement. But I am from everlasting to everlasting. I am the same one that created all things alone and by myself, not through someone else, not by someone else. I did it alone and by myself. I came into the world, and I wanted you to know me as the only begotten of the Father. That's me in the flesh. And I came and did a work that only I could do. And I gave you my birthday, told you through my work. I am the sanctuary, and you shall be living sanctuaries or living tabernacles. That's why it says we are the temple of Elohim. Just as Messiah, just as the sanctuary was the temple of Elohim. And then when Messiah came into the world, the veil was ripped down the middle of the temple because the Most High said, I'm stepping out of this temple made with hands. And I'm stepping into the world in the temple that I originally created for myself. Man. But I made a body for myself. But I designed each and every one of you to be inhabited by me. You are my temple. That's why I said you must be born of the water and of my Spirit. I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And so as we come up upon the beginning of the year, the 9th of April, we want to start preparing. The world celebrates this birthday in December. And that is actually the birthday of John the Baptist. Messiah. And they have chosen this day and they have tied it with the sun god, Zeus. They have tied it with the Egyptian god, I forget his name, but it's tied to him as well. But the true birthday of our Messiah is the first of Nisan, the first day of the first month. And then he died when it was prophesied that he would die on Passover. He was born in the springtime, at the beginning of spring. He died in the Passover, which is in the springtime. He arose on the last of the last day of the week, the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, as it began to dawn, but he was already up and gone. Had to rest for the Sabbath. Well, when the Sabbath was over, when the sun went down, started going down, he came out. Got to honor his own Sabbath. So when they have Good Friday, there's no such thing as Good Friday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday is not 3 days and three nights. Friday during the day, Saturday during the day, it's only 2 days. You have to be in there complete, 3 days, three nights, to fulfill scripture. So they misunderstand the scripture. Messiah was crucified on a Wednesday. You have to count it out. So we got to understand that his birth, him entering into the world, is coming up. And just as we are told to remember the beginning of the year, we are told also to remember his birthday. It was important enough that the angels came and announced it to the shepherds. Your Savior is here. It was important enough that 2 years or 3 years later, the wise men came and brought him gifts. Mary and Joseph were not rich before that time. They could only afford the sacrifice of the two turtle doves. They couldn't even afford the sacrifice of the lamb that was required by the law. So she brought two turtle doves or two pigeons. They fulfilled that requirement because they could not, at his birth, afford what the law required. The law required a lamb and then two turtle doves. So then the wise men come. They bring Messiah, gold and silver and frankincense. All of those were expensive things during those days. They would have made him very rich. They made his family very rich. The gifts were to him, but you know Mary and Joseph used those. They fled into Egypt with those. When it was time to come back out of Egypt, they brought what they had with them and went into Galilee. Galilee of the Gentiles, the old northern kingdom that had been taken over again by the Romans. It had been taken over by the Assyrians when the Most High kicked Israel out of the northern kingdom. By the time Messiah comes, the Assyrians have been run out as far as being the leaders of the area, and the Romans have taken over. And they are controlling the northern part of the northern kingdom. And they have built a city called Galilee. This is not Galilee of Israel. It was Galilee of the Gentiles. And that's where Messiah lived. That's where he grew up at. And when it was time, then he came to Jerusalem. When it was time. So we got to get this history straight. We got to know what's going on. And when we see him doing certain things in the scriptures, it is to fulfill scripture, what has been written about him, what he has had written about him. So that we may know that it is true. He says, only I can tell you these things before they happen. So as we continue to progress in this study, know first that Messiah is the Most High in flesh. No man has ever seen Elohim at any time. He told Moses, you can see my backside. You cannot see my glory, my face. When Ezekiel saw him, he did not see his face. And when he manifests in the flesh, they saw him in Messiah, the image of the invisible Elohim. For he was the image of the invisible Elohim. Inside of him, Elohim is a spirit. God is a spirit. And the spirit that was in Messiah was the spirit of the Most High. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Reconciling the world unto himself. We're told over and over and over and over again who this is. All we got to do is believe it. When I asked the Most High, I said, why, if you love me so much, why would you send your son to die for me? Why wouldn't you die yourself? It's like me, you know, I got a son. And I'm going to sacrifice my son to save you. Well, is that fair to my son? He says, if you only knew, I did come, and it was me, and he showed me. But this is how I want you to relate to me as the only begotten of the Father. And this is how I'm going to have the scriptures written. Because I don't want them to understand. I showed you that. I don't want them to understand. Only to those that I reveal it to do I want to understand this. So hearing, they hear and don't understand. Seeing, they see and they don't perceive what they are seeing. Even when it's explained to them, if I don't want them to understand it, they will not understand it because I will not give it to them. That's the first thing. The Most High Elohim loves us so much that he would come himself and he would make a way where there was no other way for us. He would do a work that only he can do. And he would die for our sins. But since he is life itself, that when I come in the form of a man, I have also given myself the power to resurrect myself. It's already in me. It's who and what I am. I am the resurrection. I am life. But all of this glory must go back to who you're supposed to be worshiping. At all times, the Father. So he has it shown through Messiah that all the glory always points back to the Father. the true and living Elohim. He said, I don't want you pointing at a work that I did. I don't want you pointing at me as the creator and worshiping me because of that. I want you to worship me because I am the true and only living Elohim. I have the title of creator. I have all these titles for things that I have done. But my name is Yahweh, Jehovah in the English. Yah, short version. That is my name forever. So when I came as a man, my name was in my name as a man, Yahshua. Yah, your Savior. Yah is salvation. Let us be thankful and glad that we can worship the Most High in spirit and in truth. We don't have to make up nothing because he gave us it all. All we got to do is believe it and walk in it. We can worship him in spirit and in truth. But there is no other God other than him. And we are his witnesses. So we can't be worshiping and we can't make three gods out of one. That doctrine came in by the Gentile church. And they were supposed to receive revelation, but they did not receive revelation. They made up a doctrine to include their own polytheistic understanding. They always worship more than one God. And in order to understand the workings of the Most High, they had to make three gods and say, oh, they agree in one. When the truth of the matter is, there is only one Elohim, and he's doing it all. Before I created anything, before I created the angels, before I created the heavens and the earth, I existed. And I was holy, and I was a spirit. I am the Holy Spirit. There is no other. That's why if you blaspheme me as the Holy Spirit, you shall not be forgiven. Not in this world or the world to come. Because you are talking directly against me. So I won't forgive that, whether you understand it or not. You see, people believing that Gabriel is the Holy Spirit believe that you can't blaspheme Gabriel, but you can blaspheme Jesus or Yeshua. You can blaspheme the Father. He says all manner of blaspheme and sin shall be forgiven unto men. Sin and blaspheme. But the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. So then they make Gabriel the Holy Spirit. Well, wait a minute. I can blaspheme the Father and be forgiven me. I can blaspheme the Son and it shall be forgiven me. But if I blaspheme Gabriel, it won't be forgiven me. You see how corrupt that is? They have placed Gabriel even above the Most High, not understanding that the Holy Spirit is the Most High. He says, now, if you want to blaspheme a work that I did, you want to blaspheme a title that I got from a work that I did, I'll forgive you for that. But if you blaspheme me directly, it will not be forgiven you. Not in this world, nor in the world, the new world that's going to come. I won't forgive you for that. And because if they have no understanding, they don't even know what blaspheming really is. And he shows us in the scripture, it is not this humongous evil act you got to commit to blaspheme him. It is very simple. It is the willful disobedience of him. It's blaspheming him. It's blasphemy to knowingly disobey him. It's blasphemy. He says, now, I'm going to forgive all those willful disobedience. But if you can form your mouth to say something against me, directly, I'm not going to forgive you for that. Because you only can do that willfully. You ain't going to ignorantly do that. You know, and people have done it, and then, you know, they realize what they did, and they want sympathy. But you cannot have any sympathy. There's none to be had. There won't be forgiven in this world or the world to come. You opened your mouth and you dared to do something like that, you sealed your own faith. There is nothing that anyone can do for you. Only one that can save you from that is the Most High himself. He can choose not to impute your sin against you, but he's already judged it and spoken. It will not be forgiven in this world or the world to come. He says, this is written in stone. It is not changeable. So it's very important that we understand who Messiah is. It's very important that we understand how much the Most High loved us, that he would lower himself to do the work that he did, that we might be able to enter back into our relationship with him. Our next Shabbat, this, the birth of Messiah and what it represents and the work that the Most High did. Yeah. And the work that the Most High did and what he was doing with mankind. And we'll look at the work of Messiah in his life. These things were done that we might know, that we might understand the relationship, and that we might understand salvation, and that we might understand what we must do. And we, Israel, being his witnesses, we cannot get this wrong. Then what are we witnesses of? We would be false witnesses. He hates a false witness. So we cannot be his witnesses and say, oh yeah, there's a Father and a Son and a Holy Ghost. And they are three distinct beings, but of the same mind. We would be a false witness. We would be a liar. It would not be in us. So he says that that is what we are to be witnesses of. That he himself came, died for our sins, and that we would behold him as the only begotten of the Father. That's how he wants us to know him. But it's really me, the Father, the creator of the world. I don't want you to deny what I did as the Son, that work, because that work is what allows you to come back to me. But I get the glory, just as I showed you through the office of the Son, that I get the glory as the Father. I get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Because I'm doing the work. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I cannot do for you what he did for you. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, saints, for this is our whole duty. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your evening. We'll continue this precept on next Shabbat. Peace and blessings.